You're listening to KLYT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect.
Lisa Anderson joins us from Focus on the Family. Lisa is the director of Young Adults and Boundless, and as well as overseeing that, she's the host for Boundless. Lisa, thanks for taking the time.
Hey, great to be here, Steve.
And for those unfamiliar, before we jump into our topic regarding cell phones in school, for those unfamiliar with Boundless, let them know more about it and where they can find it.
Yeah, absolutely. So anyone listening who either is in their 20s or 30s or knows maybe you have an adult child or grandchild or you're a mentor in your church or whatever, we're really the young adult ministry of Focus on the Family with the intention of helping college through 30-somethings kind of grow up, mature into adulthood, own their faith, maybe date with purpose, prepare for marriage and family, navigate all those important life transitions. And in doing that, we kind of talk about everything from faith to dating to career and finances and cultural issues. And so we have fun doing it. So the people who think Focus on the Family is, you know, just marriage and parenting and all of that, we've got a whole section of our ministry that really goes after that younger demographic as well.
Oh, yeah. Focus doing a great job over the decades covering, really the entire family. So we appreciate the work you're doing there. Let's jump into our content for today. As I mentioned, we're talking about, whether or not it's a good or bad thing for our youth, our children, our grandchildren to have cell phones while they are at school. And of course, we're assuming, I guess, unless we want to talk about homeschoolers, we're talking about kids that are heading off to public or private or Christian school. Let's jump right in. And I'm sure, Lisa, there's pros and cons. I'm pretty sure, but where would you like to start?
Yeah, I mean, we can kind of walk through some of those, because what we don't want to do, especially as we're talking to our kids and stuff, in everyday life, be those angry, dour grandma, grandpa people who are just going to lose the conversation by saying all cell phones are evil and all of that. So, we have to approach it with a measured, with a measured response. And so, I think we all can agree. Hello, I was a young adult not too long ago, actually. I think we can agree that there have been great strides brought about by having technology, not only in our personal lives, but certainly in the classroom. And so, we just have to look at both sides of the issue and figure out where we can make the best gains.
All right. Well, let's jump into some of the reasons. Yeah, it might be a good idea for kids to have cell phones at school. I have some ideas, but you're the professional. Yeah, you're the one that I'm taking notes. So,
okay.
What would be a reason you would say that parents and or teachers and faculty would say, no, there's good reason for kids to have a cell phone at school.
Yeah, well, I would say, one thing that a lot of people lean into is the safety factor. So, for example, even school districts that are looking at banning cell phones at some level are acknowledging the fact that if an incident were to occur, if there was some kind of an emergency going on campus or whatever, for parents to be connected to their kids is a good thing, and schools can't necessarily handle the influx of emergency communication or communication with parents if that were necessary. And so having that connection to your child is something that a lot of people prioritize. And so no harm, no foul there. You think of whether you're a student is maybe, at school for the entirety of the day. Maybe there's an after school program or sport that they're doing and just something needs to be communicated. That's a good thing, I would say. And so, figuring out, what does that look like? I think it's so funny because even as adults, we talk about, of course I need my phone for emergencies. So why would I not have a smartphone? But then we think of our daily usage and it's like, okay, emergencies is one thing, but why am I playing the same game on my phone for 3 hours a day?
Like
we take it too far. So clearly the ability for quick communication in emergency circumstances would be great. And I'll highlight just another big one. And this treads into not only phones and access to the internet, but also other digital platforms or devices like, you know, tablets or what else we've had enter the classroom. I mean, I was just talking, Steve, yesterday with some coworkers about how, you know, those of us who grew up primarily in the 80s and 90s were like, how lame was it that, you know, you think of researching a project and you had to go into a physical library and you tried to like do your best effort at finding a good resource that you could copy or get on the microfiche or whatever. And I'm like, I think we need to acknowledge that the advent of digital technologies and their accessibility and search engines has made legitimate research much more feasible. And so the ability to access learning and have it at your fingertips is definitely another pro.
Well, things have certainly changed. And by the way, you just said microfiche.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm like. I'm not even kidding. When I started hosting my show, Steve, I was a young adult. And now with Gen Z in my audience, I'm feeling like full on grandma status compared to where the generations have gone. So,
well,
yeah.
I saw a great meme, I think only just yesterday. Things you never heard in the 70s. I lost my phone.
Right. Yep. That's exactly it.
Well, and yeah, you touched on some of this, you know, being able to communicate, you know, with parents, kids and parents, you know, it's a busy world we're in now, you know, a practice got canceled or lessons got canceled or doctor's appointments changed, you know, and, going back to my day, you know, that meant if it was that big of a thing, you know, an administrator walking, excuse me, may I talk to Steve? You know, your mom called and she said, and just the ease of communication with families, which, you know, you kind of touched on, and the learning opportunities that you mentioned. I mean, the access, to the web in a good way, as far as it goes to, the things you're covering when in school. And actually on another, list that I saw, socialization, came up as a pro. How would you apply that?
Yeah, that's definitely a double-edged sword. I would say probably what they're getting at there is the ability for us to open up our spheres of influence, of understanding, of, you know, for example, maybe you can stay in touch with friends who have moved. You can have access to people from other life experiences. So, for example, you know, 20, 30 years ago, if you grew up in central Iowa, those were the people you knew. You weren't talking with people in Norway or somewhere across the world. You weren't sharing experiences about what life was like in school. So there's that opportunity to kind of open up the world to you. And then also just to plan things, you know, so think of the ability to maybe have friends over or the ability to kind of bring groups together or set up meetings or do those kinds of after school activities in a way that's pretty, you know, pretty much at your fingertips. I think that opportunity to draw people together and make communication possible has been helpful in some spheres.
All right. And the last one that I clicked into, and I'm sure you may, maybe you have more, but simply digital literacy and the growth there, because, I mean, you know, quite honestly, once they're done with school, I mean, that's an area almost any job you have is it's probably going to be applicable.
Right. And this is, I mean, for example, let's just think about the workplaces that we're in. I know, you know, me at Focus on the Family, a very large nonprofit, we have nearing 800 employees. We think to ourselves, man, what are those jobs that we have to hire for? And the ones that maybe some of the older employees or leadership aren't as adept at. And it's really pulling in those younger generations who are digital natives to take on those roles. So, for example, we are employing people in social media, in digital solutions, in platforming, different areas there at Focus that 20 years ago weren't even jobs that existed. So we're getting people trained up in ways that will add value to the work environment and ultimately to business and to ministry and beyond because of the opportunities that digital has provided. And so, you know, although I jokingly say now, because I work with young adults and so many of them are seeing some of the negative effects of, say, social media or smartphones, they're saying, oh, well, I'm cutting off my social media accounts, Lisa. I'm no longer doing it. So I'm like, oh, great. What am I to manage manage Facebook. I guess I'm going to have to go to boomers now because boomers are addicted to Facebook. So
right.
The tide is turning a little bit on that, but definitely that ability to understand, pick up platforms so quickly, and they change so often, Steve. I mean, that's something that's really a plus for younger adults.
Yeah, and for those that are listening and, you know, maybe you tuned in after we started and, you're getting this, they're saying all these good things about having cell phones in school and you've got this list of stuff. You're shouting at the radio why we shouldn't have students with cell phones at school. Well, we're going to take a break and come back and address some of those concerns because I will tell you, as a parent and a grandparent, I've had concerns on both sides, and it is something to really kind of make that pros and cons list. But we're visiting with Lisa Anderson. She's the director of Young Adults and Boundless, as well as the host of Boundless at Focus on the Family. Lisa, can you stay with us through the break?
Absolutely. Would love to.
All right. We're going to come back and talk more, this time more on the side of the cons of cell phones at school. We'll get to that right after the break on ABQ Connect.
ABQ Connect.
Continuing our discussion with Lisa Anderson. She's the director of Young Adults and Boundless at Focus on the Family. She's also the host of Boundless. We'd encourage you to go to focusonthefamily.com to find out more about the ministry. And remember, the 1-800 number, whether it's trying to find out something about maybe a program you listen to or supporting the ministry or information about Boundless and other ministries that focus on the family, 1-800, the letter A, family. Lisa, again, thanks for joining us. In our first segment, we talked about, more about the positive side of students having cell phones at school. I almost think this side, the cons, maybe a little easier and maybe, more likely what the listener's been shouting at the radio for the last 10 minutes. But I'll let you start with some of the areas that really should be of concern if students are going to have cell phones at school.
Yeah, well, and you and I were talking a little bit earlier, Steve, of just how what I'm seeing in the young adult population with digital addiction and tech dependency and all of that, how that's playing into the lives of younger adults now. So backing it up all the way into school, even all the way back to elementary school ages, is something really to see as important and to recognize, wow, what do we need to be aware of? What do we need to do on the front end? And so I would say probably the first most assumptive one that people might think of with cell phones, with smartphones in particular, is just the sheer availability of information. And you would think that's a good thing. We talked about that in the last segment of like, wow, there's so much that kids can research, that they can look up a quick question, that they can kind of figure out what's up. But at the same time, that can be pretty unbridled. And for parents who don't know how to put appropriate filters on kids' phones, who don't know how to limit that access to information, literally the World Wide Web is open up to their kids, and their kids might not have supervision to manage that themselves. And so I'm thinking of a friend of mine who has kids in elementary school, and she kind of does a cottage program with them. So there's a couple days where she homeschools them, then she sends them off to school. And she was telling me, Lisa, like the teachers are pretty good about in the classroom reining in smartphone usage, but then they go out to recess and all bets are off. And she said, my daughter came home the other day and a friend had pulled up YouTube and showed her a music video that was full of language that was very inappropriate. My daughter told me about it, probably sheepishly. And she's like, that's just something that I didn't realize. Oh my goodness, I don't have control over that. And so that conversation had to happen. And so, that can strike fear in a lot of parents' hearts about like, what are my kids watching? What are they listening to? How is this shaping their thoughts and all of that. And so I would say that's one of the biggest concerns of just, the world is open. You are not in that sense then having charge over what your kids are accessing and being exposed to. And then I would say in light of that, Steve, one of the other big concerns that parents talk about is the prevalence of bullying as a result of smartphone usage, online usage. You know, we used to call it, or we still kind of call it, cyberbullying, but now it's entered even portable devices and all of that. So this ability to, whether it's through social media platforms, whether that is, you know, TikTok or Instagram or Snapchat or whatever, take photos of kids, you know, and you mass send them, or you attach something, or you say something about someone, and you're able to, and we know this from social media, you're kind of becoming your own little reporter, and you can spread information, you can spread gossip and lies, you can basically tear someone down publicly through the spreading of whatever you decide to put on a device and have access to contact info for everyone out there. And so I think the bullying and the sharing things as fact, misinformation, targeting kids is something that has become, obviously, we've seen it in the news, a huge problem in that area. So two things that are a big deal in that. And then I'll just share kind of the third, because I think between these three, we have a lot to talk about.
Yeah.
The other is the fact that science is actually proving, and this extends beyond, you know, the school campus to what we're all doing with social media and digital devices. The brain chemistry is affected by smartphone usage. So every time you get a notification on your phone, anytime someone comments, anytime you see something pop up, your brain is actually getting a dopamine hit that is akin to any other kind of addictive behavior, drugs, alcohol, anything on those fronts. And so we've ignored this for too long. The fact that we are seeing attention spans shortening with the use of smartphones and quick available platforms and information. So attention span, distractibility, the inability to focus, it's playing into in a coexisting fashion other issues that kids are struggling with, like bona fide ADHD diagnoses and other things. So all of those put together should give parents and educators cause for pause in how they're going to address this in their schools.
Well, you bring up a lot of great reasons to be concerned about students having cell phones in the classroom or just at school in general, because as you mentioned, you know, classroom's one thing, recess another, lunch another, breaks, yep, another. But let me rewind a little bit and touch on some of this. As far as inappropriate content, it reminded me about a great toolkit that Family Policy Alliance and Focus on the Family put together, a back-to-school toolkit for parents that addresses some of these issues. I mean, you know, kids are being exposed. You know, you talk about cell phones. Well, the schools are providing sometimes school-issued portable computers where some of that same content is available, exposure to pornography and the music videos, like you mentioned. But this kit that's put together for parents, we've made it accessible real easy, just to go to klyt.fm, and we've put a banner there with that guide where parents can click it. But you know, with kids headed, you know, well, not, they're there, they're back to school in most places. This is a great resource to help find ways to protect your children and prepare them to defend their faith while they're back at school. So kind of touching on that inappropriate content, and then you mentioned bullying, and my first thought was, you know, it's you remove the digital aspect of it, whether phones or notepads or what have you, the kids are still going to find a way to bully. However, certainly by removing those digital ways of doing it, you're going to slow it down and make it a lot more difficult to do. So that is something absolutely I would agree to consider. And then as far as mental health and distraction, not only kids, but, you know, in our culture, recently was sitting in a staff event here where we had a guest speaker talking about, I'll get to what he was talking about, but in the conversation, just mentioning, you know, when you're at work and then, you get distracted by these things that demand your attention, and it often takes like 20 minutes to get back to the level of focus and concentration, whatever you were working on before the distraction occurred. And if you apply that to school where kids are, you know, maybe in a study time and they get distracted, I'm sure the same principles apply. There was a ministry that I heard about, that is considering, and this is for everyone. It doesn't apply to students, but boy, you wonder if it wouldn't be a good thing to have something like this at school. Something simply called sanctuary, where essentially, maybe on your drive into work, you can stop somewhere where, hey, no phones, no pads, just go in. There's some, contemplative music and maybe scripture being read and, just that disconnect maybe that we need sometimes, from the digital contact that we have. I mean, Lisa, how scary is it to you at the end of the week? I don't know if you get a report on your phone. I get a weekly review. Yeah, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
You spent this much time on your digital device this week. It's just, it's overwhelming.
I just block it. I don't even want to know. I just like shut it off. I'm like, don't even tell me. It's so terrible. Yeah. No, it's terrible.
Yeah. But, you know, the other thing that we didn't mention, you know, back in the day, you know, I don't know that I really ever cheated during exams. I honestly can't think back, to thinking I ever did that, but you know, where people would write stuff on their hands or crib notes or, but certainly with digital devices, that absolutely comes into play.
Yeah. And it adds another layer of things that teachers and administrators have to look out for and find parameters for. So it's just an exhausting cycle of how all of these things have to be addressed. In fact, Steve, I was going to jump back because we were talking, even when you mentioned the bullying, I was thinking, you know, you said, there would have been less of it maybe or whatever. And I think, you think, man, back in the olden days when most of us were called out to fights or whatever, you had to like physically show up on the playground and either you were going to punch someone in the face or you were going to do something, but it was all, you know, in real time, real space. And I think the challenge, especially the mental health challenge with bullying now is, and again, translate this into the adult world, what we're seeing on social media and on blogs and around the political landscape is you can sit behind your screen and target people and say very malicious things about people with no repercussions to yourself. And that's kind of what cyberbullying is as well. So you can take a picture of a kid, you can alter it, you can put it through filters, you can straight up edit it and post it as fact. And I think that's where, you know, no longer is quote unquote bullying happening in real time in real space where you're just, you know, hey, you're going to have to fight me after school. Okay. Well, that's right, one thing.
That whole keyboard courage comes in into effect.
Yeah. And the playing field is not leveled. And the other thing I want to say about the time and attention and what we talked about here, you know, is the third component to this. And we can even, you know, maybe talk here a second about possible solutions, but parents. Okay. So this is where I'm going to call out parents and grandparents who, you know, you talk about the need for rest and the need for a break. Kids actually want that. I was talking to one of my employees just yesterday and she was reminiscing about being a young life leader. This was several years ago and they went to a week long camp and all the kids had to turn in their phones on the front end of the week and they didn't get them till the end of the week. And she said, Lisa, these kids, like at the end of the week were like, this was the best week of my life. I had so much fun. I made so many new friends. I just learned so many things. And it's like, those are memories that will be imprinted on them. And when we are distracting ourselves with technology in the midst of all that, it cannibalizes the experiences that we're having. And so we got to be willing to prioritize those breaks for our own children. And to that point, Steve, here's one of the other things where I'm going to call out parents. Another great example from church, you know, our own youth group on Wednesday nights, I was talking to one of our youth group leaders and she's like, yeah, Lisa, you know, we meet for 2.5 hours on Wednesday nights and we tried to institute a no phones policy for during youth group, but it's the parents who said, no, we need my kids to have their phones. So in case we need to reach them, or if we have to ping them about something, or we have to. And I'm like, yeah. If we can't let our kids sit around for 2 hours, you know, without their phones, what are we doing to contribute to the problem?
Yeah. And, you know, I'll tell you, as a parent who raised six kids in church and sending them off to events like that, and that was a rule, you know, the two rules that stand out to me, no cell phones on the trip. And if your boyfriend or girlfriend's on the trip, that's not happening during camp. But you know, I'm going to tell you one of the things, and I haven't thought too deeply about it, but the leaders, it felt like a lot like, do as I say, not as I do. The leaders were still very connected. And I know that, you know, for those parents that are like, I need to be able to connect with my child. Well, maybe there's a way, some way, teachers, to be that disconnected where they don't have theirs. I mean, what do they need their cell phone for in the classroom? That wouldn't be any different than what the kids need it for. So that kind of a disconnection where if the school needed something, well, they walk down the hall and they find the teacher. So yeah, just some real thoughts, to put behind, some of the things we've discussed today. And any more application you want to throw out there before, we put a bow on our conversation?
Yeah, I just think, I mean, again, it just highlights the fact that parents, family members need to be involved in this process and not abdicate responsibility for their kids' mental health to the community or the schools or whatever. And just thinking that through, there's a school district here in my town in Colorado Springs, where Focus on the Family is, that is trying this school year now a form of lockbox for phones. And so students have to lock their phone when they come into school. And then I think they can, it's an open campus. So when they go out for lunch or whatever, they can get it back. But it's just this measure of, we want to do something different. We want to change the narrative of how our kids experience school. And so I'm sure that's even received some pushback. And so parents can enter in at the school level, talking to the school board and beyond about what can be done for kids. And then I think in the time outside of school, you know, and our parenting team at Focus on the Family, you referenced some of it, Steve, but there are so many tips and resources that they have about what does it look like to, when everyone walks in the door at night, put your phone in a basket, and for mealtime and maybe an hour afterwards, you spend time as a family talking and doing something together before people go back to their phones, or, you know, just putting tips and strategies and attempts into place to curb some of that and really set apart some time to be relational, be a family, do the things that need to be done to foster relationship and care. I think that's important to prioritize.
Great stuff. Well, we've been visiting with the director of Young Adults and Boundless, as well as the host of Boundless at Focus on the Family. Lisa Anderson has been our guest. Lisa, thank you so much for the time. And as always, we'll welcome the opportunity to have you back and talk on more relevant topics that impact the youth and young adults either that are listening or that are in our lives.
Well, it's always my privilege, Steve, and I better check my phone to see if I got any notifications while we've been talking.
Yeah, exactly. Well, thanks so much. And a reminder, you can find this and other archived segments of the show on abqconnect.online. Thanks for joining us on ABQ Connect.